Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer for you, why, give us a call. We invite it right now to 844-322-2742. Again, that's toll-free 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Paul wrote these fantastic words in 1 Thessalonians, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus concerning you." If you want to know what the will of God is, here it is in very clear, concise terms. "In everything give thanks." Now, Paul didn't say give thanks for everything. It says in everything give thanks. And certainly because of the finished work of Christ, because of the fact that he is alive, living in us, in any situation, we have the opportunity to say thank you to him. Whatever we're going through, whatever you're going through right now, does not change one thing that Christ has already accomplished on your behalf. He died. He shed his blood. If you have received him, if you have put your full weight of trust in Christ Jesus, you have received the gift of forgiveness. You have been declared righteous in his sight. You have been given the gift of God's Spirit with the promise that he will never leave you nor forsake you. You've been made partakers of this new covenant in which you have assurance of salvation and total forgiveness of sins. Nothing that you're going through right now can change that. And to top it all off, you are always in his presence, and he is always in your presence. That's hope. Whatever the situation is, no matter how dark or dim or bleak it might seem to you, there's hope. And the reason there's hope is because Jesus Christ is alive, and he is right there in that situation with you. Therefore, Paul says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Yeah. That's an amazing statement. And boy, if we only believe this to be true. You know, we meet Christians all the time who don't have a thankful heart. They aren't willing to say thank you in the midst of their circumstances. Why? Because they keep looking at the circumstance. They keep looking at that sorry person they're in a relationship with. They keep looking at all the negative things and lose sight of the great thing that's in their lives, Jesus Christ himself. It's time to get our eyes focused to where they need to be, right back on Christ, squarely on his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And I guarantee you, when your eyes are there and when your heart is there, your heart will say thanks in all things, and you will be living out the will of God in your life.
Yes, indeed. This, of course, is Basic Gospel, everybody. We'd love to hear from you. If you have that question or discussion topic you'd like to pose, why, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Again, that number toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question from Sharon, who writes to us from Fort Smith, Arkansas, concerning Mark chapter 16, verses 14 through 20. Since those verses I used to really struggle with because I had never spoken in tongues, but I notice it says a new tongue. So what is the difference between a new tongue and other tongues? Also, is Jesus talking to his disciples at that time? Because I don't know of anyone that is doing the things he told them to do and to go out and do. So I do not struggle with these things anymore because I did ask the Holy Spirit to teach me the truth regarding these scriptures. But I still want to hear what you guys have to say. What has the Holy Spirit told you?
Well, thanks, Bob, and thanks for sharing that email question with us. Mark, the last part of chapter 16, verses 9 through 20, there's a footnote there. And in most of your Bibles, you're going to read this, that the most reliable early manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have Mark 16, 9 through 20. So was this added later on by scribes or that sort of thing? We don't know for sure, but in the earlier manuscripts, this doesn't appear. But what we do know is that the disciples carried this out, didn't they?
Yes.
As they marched around the world telling people about Jesus, going into places where the gospel had yet to be heard. You know, they were carrying this message to new places, to new people, that their ministries were, I guess, marked by signs and wonders and miracles and all sorts of things. I mean, we just look at the Apostle Paul himself, and we see that almost everything that was written here, Paul experienced.
Yes.
So we know that it's true, but I think it was specifically for those disciples, those apostles, including the Apostle Paul. That's something that they experienced as they were preaching the word to all the nations. I think that's what it's saying there. And so we don't see a lot of this happening today. We don't see much of this happening at all. I know there's stories from different churches who believe we can handle snakes, and you know, folks that started handling snakes, you know, the news would report they died.
Yeah.
And yes. You know, that's not a good thing. But you know, back in those days, I think to validate the message. And that's the key, is boy, Paul was going into places, and he was, you know, as some philosophers would say, you're talking funny stuff. I mean, you're talking really crazy stuff about a guy that was dead that's now alive, this resurrection. That's crazy. How can you really believe that? And so to validate the message, to, I think, turn people's attention to what was actually being said, the message was accompanied by these incredible miracles. And I think when people saw those miracles, they took note as to what Paul was actually saying and what the other apostles were actually saying.
Yeah, I find it interesting that over the years, our ministry and other ministries as well have had to deal with passages like this. And on one side, people are saying, you know, this couldn't possibly be true. And on the other side, people are saying, oh, this is absolutely true. And yet, when you go to a passage like, sin will not be your master because you are not under law but under grace, both sides go, well, that can't be right.
Yeah.
Now, what are we going to do with the Word of God? I mean, when you look at the truly important passages, that are life-changing passages, and we can't get agreement on them, let's not talk about these that have some questions about them until we deal with truly the thus saith the Lord's about our salvation and who Jesus is and what he's done.
Yes, indeed. And the final verse in this particular passage is this: then the disciples, this was after the ascension,
yes,
of Jesus Christ, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied,
yes,
it. And what we see in these passages just above it were what the nature of those signs were. They're quite spectacular. But it's not the signs themselves that save. It's the message concerning Jesus, his death,
correct,
his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to take up his rightful place at the right hand of God the Father. That is the story that brought eternal salvation to those who believed and received.
Yes, indeed. Sharon, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Open lines, friends, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. If you've had that question you've been holding on to, a good opportunity to call straight through and speak with us right now. So give us a call. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time, 844-322-2742. Guys, a very simple question from Lulu, who I dropped us an email to ask. Do we need to ask God for forgiveness every day?
Very simple question.
Very simple question.
And boy, it's a can of worms that's going to be opened up as far as the answer is concerned. And let me read one passage. This is just a fantastic passage out of the book of Acts. It's a sermon that Peter delivered to a Gentile family and household. So this was the first time that Gentiles had actually heard the word of God, heard the message concerning Christ Jesus. And Peter was the one that delivered the message. And he said this at the end of it: all the prophets testify about him, about Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. So while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. So first time the Gentiles had been granted the gift of God's Spirit. And with that gift, there's a confirmation that their sins had been forgiven. We would not be able to receive the gift of God's Spirit. God's Spirit would not come to live inside of us unless our sins had been forgiven once and for all.
Uh-huh.
Not just some of them, not just the ones up to a certain point in time, but all sins, past, present, and future. So when we receive Christ, we received forgiveness of sins. So if you already have forgiveness of sins, do you need to ask for more forgiveness of sins? That's the question. And the answer to that is a resounding no. I mean, you can pray, Lord, please forgive me for this sin. And he's not going to slap you on the wrist or anything like that when you pray. He's simply going to point you back to the cross and say, look, that's where forgiveness was accomplished. Uh-huh. Jesus shed his blood once and for all, and that sin you're so worried about has already been dealt with. Jesus took the punishment for it, and because you have received him, you have received the forgiveness, because in him is redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So it'll constantly be a teaching opportunity for you to solidify the reality of forgiveness, that you have all the forgiveness that you're ever going to be given in Christ Jesus. He's not going to shed his blood again.
Nope.
And as the writer of Hebrews said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So if you needed more forgiveness, then Christ would have to shed his blood again. He's uh-huh. not going to do that. He died once for all sin for all time. That's good news.
Yeah.
And so when you receive Christ, you receive forgiveness of sins. Now, Richard?
Well, one of the things that changed in my life is that I would always ask for forgiveness. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. And what the Spirit told me was, he started saying up front, you are forgiven. Now let's talk about, and I didn't want to talk about, it was much right. more comfortable to say, please forgive me.
Right.
But the Spirit said, no, don't ask. I'm telling you, you're forgiven. Now I want to talk to you about and whatever the issue is and what causes the flesh to get in the way. It's a completely different dynamic because it's about discipline and not avoiding punishment.
Absolutely. So we are forgiven people.
Yes.
So when we sin today, we don't have to fear punishment. We don't have to fear retribution. Yes, there might be consequences yes. for that sin. Just natural consequences to that sin. If you're choosing to commit adultery or you're choosing to lay your eyes on pornographic material, it's going to impact your family situation. It's going to impact your marriage situation. It's going to impact your relationship with your kids. That's just a natural consequence of that sin. But knowing that you are forgiven, you can lay it out on the table in front of God and say, God, help. What yes. do I need to do with this? Because, you know, as Jesus was brought that adulterer and, you know, all the religious leaders wanted to stone her, and Jesus said, you without sin cast the first stone. Well, they all dropped their stones and left. Uh-huh. And then here this lady was standing before Jesus, and he said, where are all your accusers? And said, we're not here. He said, well, you know, you're not condemned. Go and sin no more.
Yes.
So sometimes we don't think about that second half of what Jesus said. So we can freely bring these things to God. We can lay them out there for what they are. Uh-huh. We don't have to try to sanitize them. We don't have to try to clean them up to make them look better in the sight of God. We can just say it for what it is. Just lay it out there for what it is. And then God can go to work inside of us to, you know, to bring us out of that. To show us the better way, to show what faith looks like when those yes. temptations and those sort of things come your way. Mm-hmm. So rest in the fact that you are a forgiven person, that when you receive Christ, you receive forgiveness of sins. As uh-huh. as John wrote in his first letter, I write this to you, my little children, that your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. That is the good news.
Yes.
So, do we confess? Do
sure.
we agree with God? You bet we do. That's what it means to walk in truth. But when we confess, we are doing so, and we can freely do so, knowing that Jesus has already dealt with it. He's already shed his blood. That gives us an opportunity to look at it for what it is and to trust the Lord to work in our lives to move us in a different direction as far as that sin was concerned.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if you're at the office or driving or whatever the situation might be that you can't pick up the phone and give us a call to pose your question, drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net. We'll be very, very happy to receive it and to address your question on a hopefully near future edition of Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Let's go to Long Island, New York, and talk to Evelyn listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Evelyn. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thank you so much. It's my first time calling.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. I was calling because I have a cousin of mine who's new in Christ, and he had, I'll use past tense because he stopped about a week ago, a habit of smoking weed. And he used to say, you know, well, it's okay. It's a plant that God made. It's natural. There's nothing wrong with smoking weed. And even though he recently stopped about a week ago, I want to know how to answer that question in the future to other people who are coming to Christ. You know, it's not right to smoke weed, correct?
Well, I think if somebody's smoking weed or drinking, you know, alcohol in excess, they're doing so to find meaning and purpose or to cover up some pain in their life or just to find a sense of gratification. So there's a reason they're doing that, but now in Christ, you have everything you need, so you don't need to do those things. But here's what you need to learn from this situation. This family member came to know Christ. There was a genuine conversion, right?
Correct.
Uh-huh. And in that genuine conversion, Jesus sent his Spirit to take up residence in this person's life. Well, the result is what you're seeing. The fact that, you know, over time, he's totally changed his mind about his need for marijuana. And he's come to the point and said, I don't need that anymore. I'm not going to use it anymore. I'm not going to smoke it anymore. That is evidence of God's work in his life. So the answer to that is this: can we trust the Spirit of God to work in another person's life to bring them to a point so that they can see that with Christ, they have everything they need for life and godliness? And the answer to that is yes, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
It made me very happy to hear that he quit. I just, you know, like for other family members that are coming to Christ, like how would I help them answer that question that they shouldn't smoke marijuana?
Well, Evelyn, I think the answer to that is let's learn to trust the Lord, okay?
Got it.
Because
okay.
When you learn to trust the Lord, those other things are going to fall by the wayside. As Paul wrote, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the answer is learn to trust the Lord. Learn to recognize that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Learn to recognize that you're a forgiven person. And in light of all that stuff, the Holy Spirit will bring you to the right conclusions.
Thank you so much for answering my question. You guys are awesome.
Hey, thank you, Evelyn.
Evelyn, one more thing. Your family member who has quit smoking it is probably being pounded by Satan right now with every temptation imaginable to go back to it. And you can come alongside of him and encourage him. And even if he slips and falls and goes back and smokes another joint, you being there to reassure him that the Spirit hasn't left him, that he is a forgiven person and all of that, go a long ways toward helping him maintain, you know, and be in fellowship in a way that takes away the need for this.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the advice and answering my question. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. You hold the line. We're going to send you a copy of the book Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. I think it'll be a big help to you, and maybe you can pass it along to your family member as well. So you hold on, and we'll get that into your hands, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Evelyn.
Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, of course, available from the book section of our website at store.basicgospel.net. Again, that's store.basicgospel.net. Just navigate to the book section. Well, Bob and Richard, we, of course, are nearing the midway point of the fourth quarter of this particular calendar year, and you have expressed the need to the listeners in the past of a significant amount of donations to come in, the need that need to meet our budget. So give us an update. Give us the idea of where we are and where we need to go.
Well, Bob and Richard, as far as our ministry is concerned, and I think this is true for most ministries across the board, the last quarter of the year, October, November, and December, is the most critical time as far as contributions are concerned. Yes. For us, it means about 40% of our annual revenue needs. That's what comes in those 3 months. So we're trusting the Lord to move generously in the hearts of our listeners to give generously, so that we can continue to get the word out through this Basic Gospel broadcast, through the internet platform that we have, through the various resources that we have, through our social media channels. Those are all the tools that God has put in place to deliver this message. And when this message is delivered, lives are changed. And so we need help. We need people to stand with us, to join the Basic Gospel team and saying, if there's anything that I want to do in life, it's this. It's to get the message out.
Right.
To get the word out. And there's a great opportunity to do so, and now is just the most opportune time for you to make that choice to stand with us, to help meet the financial needs of this ministry and help us move forward in the next year strong, confident that we can take advantage of other opportunities to share this good news with as many people as possible.
Absolutely. And Richard, as the person on staff who keeps your finger on the pulse of our financial need and situation, give us your thoughts as well.
Well, this is an opportunity to have a multiplier effect in your own ministry. Very few people have the kind of platform that we are blessed to have. And so you can talk to one or two people, and it's a beautiful thing. I mean, yes. God uses you to bring them. But when you have a chance with $30 or $40 or $50 or $100 to reach 100 times that many people, why not do it? I mean, that's an investment in lives around the world. I mean, literally around the world. I mean, you know your neighborhood, you know your family. Think about the untold millions of people around the world who are desperate for Jesus. This is an investment that matters. It really matters, and it makes a difference.
Absolutely. Well, of course, friends, for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, you're going to receive a copy of our study guide called The New Covenant Journey. And of course, that's the study guide that we're moving through each Friday on this broadcast, and we'll be doing that tomorrow as well. So we encourage you to make it kind of a double issue. Support the ministry. Help us continue to get the message out, and at the same time, get your copy of The New Covenant Journey, and be ready to study with us each Friday as we move through those particular pages. Now, you can make your donation by clicking our website, basicgospel.net, and click Donate on any page. You'll find a Donate button on any page at basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, that number is available during Central Time office hours, 844-412-2742. Interesting side note that Billy Rayburn is our receptionist and answers the phone every day. She and her husband, Russell, are celebrating their 49th wedding anniversary just this very day. And so we send our congratulations to Billy and Russell. And
she doesn't look old enough to be celebrating a 49th wedding anniversary.
She's married at 10 or 11 years old.
Yeah.
we're gonna push them along toward that half-century mark a year from now. Also, friends, we hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to stay in contact with Basic Gospel. You can do that every day by going to the App Store and downloading our app from the Apple App Store, of course. You can see Bob Christopher's blog. You can access my weekly post called Inside the Studio and find out about upcoming events and join our email. There's just a number of things that you can accomplish with the app. So download it. We prepared it just for you. Well, thanks for being with us today, everybody. It's been great to be here, and thank you for joining us. We'll be back for that teaching edition through the pages of the New Covenant Journey tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.